Hello and welcome to Quadriga. A decisive showdown over Brexit this week as members of the Conservative Party deserted their Prime Minister, dealing him a harsh defeat that deprives him of his parliamentary majority. Against Boris Johnson's will, some members of his party voted for a bill to stop his do-or-die pledge to leave the EU at the end of October, with, or if necessary, without a negotiated deal with Brussels. Could the last-minute revolt save the UK from a no-deal Brexit and even topple the Prime Minister? Brexit, the end of the road for Johnson? That's our question for today. And here are the guests who will answer it. Alex Forrest Whiting is a DW reporter and a former Westminster political correspondent. She says the country, Parliament and the Conservative Party are tearing themselves apart over Brexit. Prime Minister Johnson appears to have lost control. And Friedrich Thelen is with us. He's an expert on business and economics who formerly wrote for the German newspapers Die Welt and the Wirtschaftswoche. And he says democratic convictions are more deeply rooted in the political system of Britain than some populists seem to believe. And it's a pleasure to welcome John Wirth. He is an EU citizen with a UK passport who lives in Berlin. He's a blogger, political advisor, and a member of the Green Party. He says Boris Johnson is turning the Conservative Party into the Brexit Party, but this week has shown that it's a dangerous game. So let me start out by asking you, Alex, you say that Boris Johnson appears to have lost control, but appearances can be deceiving. Has he actually perhaps overplayed his hand, or could it be that he is playing into the hands of his opponents? And could he wind up winning the end game ultimately?
Well, I think we can't write him off, and this is my point, particularly because he has some very strong characters behind him who are very good at the dark arts, shall we say. So we can't write him off. At the moment, it looks like those who are opposing a no-deal Brexit, including those who want to remain in the EU, are winning the game. They've obviously done very well in Parliament by defeating him in these votes this week, which has been a very difficult time for the Prime Minister, given how he has been Prime Minister for such a short amount of time. So it has not been an easy week for him. But he is still Prime Minister and he does still have cards up his sleeve, I believe, and I do not think that we can say that this is the end game for Boris Johnson.
Let me ask you just very briefly, could one of those cards still be snap elections?
Yes, absolutely. I think that we will be see an election in the UK. The question is, when will it be? Are we talking in a few weeks, a few days, or are we talking about a couple of months?
Okay, we'll come back to that point in just a minute. Let me ask you, John Wirth, highly respected Tories were kicked out of the party this week for defying Boris Johnson. Now, you say he is reshaping the Conservative Party into the Brexit Party, but in fact, Britain already has a Brexit Party, namely the new party founded in January by Nigel Farage. So wouldn't it, rather than Boris Johnson's reconstituted Conservatives, be in the best position to rally those who want to leave going forward?
What you say there is exactly what Nigel Farage would like to think. Bear in mind, however, that British elections require lots of feet on the ground, lots of local campaigners, and that's what the Conservatives at least got. Farage's Brexit Party is much more of a media operation. It's very polished in the way it comes over, but it can't actually do election campaigning on the ground. That's why, essentially, Boris Johnson's pitch is essentially to those voters who voted for the Brexit Party at the European elections in May, come back to the Conservatives. We're the real Brexiteers now, and he's trying to unite all of those pro-Brexit voters behind the Conservative Party. He thinks the next election will be fought on Brexit rather than being fought on other topics, and that's his clear pitch. Come back to the Conservatives. We're the true Brexiteers now.
OK, thanks very much. And again, we're going to take a deeper look at that in just a moment. Friedrich Thelen, your opening statement said that democratic convictions are deeply rooted in the UK's political system. But as many of us have discovered over the last 10 days, many of those conventions and convictions are not written down as black letter law. And doesn't that, in fact, make it very difficult to rein in an unscrupulous demagogue of the sort that Boris Johnson is proving himself to be?
Yes, but my confidence is that the machinery of democracy has worked for more than 400 years, and there may be solutions. Suddenly, we have a snap election. Out of this, there is no majority. Neither Labour nor the Tories, United with Farage and the rest, have a majority. Then suddenly, another person who is somewhere around turns up and can unite votes behind him, and then suddenly we are in a new situation. My trust is that the British political system and the political class, for whatever we've seen in the last two years or so, can find solutions, will find solutions, because it's deeply rooted in the, well, political census and heart of the British.
Let me just push a little harder on that point, because what we certainly heard over the past week is that those conventions depended on the members of the political system subscribing to unwritten rules of fair play and integrity. And would you really say that Boris Johnson and the people around him are doing so?
No, by more means, no. But I advocated that out of a snap election, that was a becomes a no majority for Mr. Johnson, but suddenly the country unites behind someone who has not been a candidate before. That is easily possible. And that is sort of when traditions deeply rooted in the British political soul might come up. I'm an optimist.
Okay.
I was just going to say the problem with that is that we have seen in the past few months in British politics MPs leaving either the Labour Party or the Conservative Party and trying to set up a new party to do exactly this, and it has not done very well. They have, some of those members have now left and joined the Liberal Democrats, which is a third party. And this is the problem with the British political system. At the moment, it is very adversarial. It is based on a two-party system. And that is why Brexit has proved to be rather complicated.
Okay, I want to come back to that in just a moment, but I'd really like to first bring in a report that gives us a somewhat deeper look at the politician who seems to hold the UK's fate in his hands at the moment.
His career as Brexiteer leader launched with a lie. The UK was obliged to pay the EU £350 million each week, his campaign claimed. That was hugely exaggerated. Nevertheless, his anti-EU stance helped him become Prime Minister in late July. EU partners have rebuffed his attempts to renegotiate. Now Boris Johnson is steering the country towards a no-deal Brexit.
We're leaving on the 31st of October, no ifs or buts. We will not accept any attempt to go back on our promises or scrub that referendum.
To stop Parliament from passing a law that would rule out a hard Brexit, he ordered a five-week suspension of the House of Commons. But the Prime Minister faced a huge backlash when massive protests erupted in many British cities. Is Boris Johnson harming British democracy?
Let me put that question straight away to John Wirth, whether Boris Johnson is harming British democracy. Certainly some people said, as he suspended Parliament, essentially sending it on a forced and lengthy vacation, that that amounts to a coup.
I think to call it a coup is perhaps exaggerating it somewhat, but nevertheless, to have Parliament not sitting for 5 weeks in the middle of a political crisis is an extremely worrying development. And it's basically so Boris Johnson can avoid parliamentary scrutiny. So essentially, he's trying to push Parliament away because he knows the parliamentarians don't really support his Brexit plans. Now, what we've seen this week, and we'll see more next week at least, is that Parliament's fighting back. It's trying to use the little time it's got available to bind Boris Johnson's hands as much as possible. But it's a very delicate situation. And we're not yet certain whether Parliament will actually win that battle against Boris Johnson.
Lady Taylan, let me ask you a devil's advocate question. You know, the British have been going in circles for the past 3 years, essentially, since they agreed on Brexit, or since the referendum. A devil's advocate might say, look, you know what, it's time for strong leadership, even if it is a bit unorthodox.
Well, that sounds rational, but it isn't, because the British system doesn't know, and that's an answer to what you said before, coalitions. Only in war times, political parties have united in a coalition government, which is the normal procedure in practice in Europe and around the world. But maybe we are steering in this sort of a crisis situation where political parties, it's then not the leader of Labour, not Corbyn, but somebody else comes out of it, out of the dark or out of the light, and forms this, and that we need in this crisis situation a coalition government, especially if you look at the industrial economic consequences of what is happening after a no-deal Brexit, or Brexit at all. The country will suffer. Common people will lose money, and the money which is earned in the city, the financial hotspot of Europe, is going to go away.
We're going to take a closer look at that as well. But let me stay with the point about unscrupulous politicians and what they mean within the kind of political system that Britain does have. Alex, you referred, I think, in your very first answer to some of Johnson's advisers being practitioners of the dark arts. I assume you are referring to Mr. Cummings, and maybe you can tell us a bit about what you meant.
Yeah, so Dominic Cummings is Boris Johnson's special adviser, and he has become quite a big name amongst, obviously in British politics for many years, but also amongst the British public, because a lot of finger-pointing is going on at Dominic Cummings, saying that he is the man responsible for a lot of this. He was the man behind the Vote Leave campaign back in 2016 for the referendum. That campaign succeeded. That is why the UK is leaving the EU. And everybody, you know, many people had thought that that wouldn't be possible, but he turned it round. His aim is to make Brexit happen, and it is the man behind Boris Johnson making sure that Brexit happens, using the phrase, this is what the people voted for back in 2016, this is democracy. So you talk about, is Boris Johnson being undemocratic? Well, they will say, no, we are doing what the will of the people called for back in 2016, and this is democratic. Dominic Cummings, I myself have had some dealings with him. The first time I met him, I didn't actually even know who he was, but I had been interviewing the cabinet minister, Michael Gove, who he then worked for. I had asked him a couple of questions that Michael Gove didn't like, and he told me he didn't like them. He walked away, and suddenly these three men came towards me. One of them was Dominic Cummings, who swore at me and told me I was a whatever journalist, absolutely furious, told me I couldn't use this interview, which was then used. And so seeing, you know, everything that's happening with him, swearing at MPs on the phone we're hearing about, including the rebels, marching out an advisor to the Chancellor, that's the finance minister, because apparently she wasn't towing the line. You know, all these stories that we are now hearing is very much what, well, certainly I experienced some of it, but what we have known in Westminster for many years. And he has one aim, and that is to get Brexit over the line.
So Dominic Cummings was part of the machinery that essentially created a pro-leave campaign for the referendum that was based on lies. We heard that in our report as well. Certainly, Boris Johnson has shown himself to be perfectly willing to resort to lies from time to time to get what he wants. Is he to be believed now, John, when he says that he can get a better deal out of Brussels? This is one of the things that he has been saying to sort of assuage concerns that Britain could wind up in a no-deal situation. He's been saying, look, I'm on the right track, I can get a deal.
There is no evidence whatsoever that he is on the right track. This was a question that came from Labour leader Corbyn in all of the debates earlier in the week. Corbyn said, well, could you show us some proof of how these negotiations are working out? And crucially, can you show us how you're going to solve the Northern Ireland border question? Because Boris Johnson keeps on attacking the so-called Northern Ireland backstop. That's basically the system to prevent there being a hard border in Ireland after Brexit. And that's been so the crucial point where Boris Johnson said, we are not going to agree to anything with the Northern Ireland backstop in it. Corbyn says, OK, so if you're making progress, show us. And Boris Johnson just bluffed. He had nothing to say. There is no evidence whatsoever. Boris Johnson is just trying to threaten the EU. He is not going to the EU with any sort of sensible and worked-out proposals. And the EU is sitting there going, well, what do we make of this? How do we possibly deal with someone like that who's essentially trying to threaten us rather than negotiate with us?
Friedrich Thielen, now speaking as a German looking at this situation and also with an incoming head of the EU Commission, who is herself a former German politician. What do you think? How much leeway and how much political will is there in Brussels to try to find a different solution for the so-called Irish backstop?
I do think there still is a portion of goodwill in Brussels to, not to have this situation deteriorating. And there are voices in Brussels saying maybe we were not totally corresponding to Prime Minister May at the time. Whenever she wanted to get it through the House, we could have been more generous. And so I think even with Johnson on the other side, if there is something rational on the way, which
but
could
is,
be...
I mean, is there any real opening? If you look at the law here, we have a very clear law that any change in Ireland's border status must be agreed by the Irish people. That is law. How can Brussels possibly offer anything different as than what has been negotiated so far?
I mean, the law is okay, no question, you're totally right, but there are also solutions which have been discussed in there, because what everybody, I don't know about Mr. Johnson, but the rest of the civilized world in Britain not wants is a restart of the Irish Catholic anti-Protestant Northern Ireland, the Troubles as it was called, and everybody is very happy we have the Good Friday Agreement of 30 years ago and stick to that. I mean, even Johnson could be very, very careful to touch this. If that comes out of his proceedings, that this peace is broken. And remember, 3 or 4 or 5 months ago, there was the first girl killed somewhere in this context. Yeah. If that starts again, this is the end. And I mean, having Cummings behind other whatever they are, they're not dull. They know undo the peace between Northern Ireland and the Republic. I mean, this is no way.
But here I disagree with you to a certain extent. Like I personally take that point of view, and I think playing with the peace process in Northern Ireland is a dangerous thing. But ultimately, London has not paid adequate attention to the problems of the Northern Ireland issue right since before the referendum, and actually, London just kind of hopes it just stays there on the island of Ireland. And so ultimately, it's not been adequately dealt with now for more than 3 years. And so therefore, the key questions of dealing with the Northern Ireland border issue still now remain unresolved. And so ultimately, that's what Boris Johnson has not understood. He can't just go off to Brussels to say, get rid of the backstop, until he's got a workable proposal to replace it with something, when that's not been forthcoming.
So now, Alex, let's talk again about timing. These new bills that have been passed by the Parliament this week would essentially put off the deadline for the Brexit decision until the end of the year. Is there any chance that a different agreement, no matter what political constellation we wound up with, whether or not Boris Johnson stays, that a new, different agreement could be negotiated by then? Are they just kicking the can down the road once more?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? Because if they are kicking the can down the road, which I'm sure many in Brussels will be looking at and thinking, if we do give the UK another extension, what is it for? A key question. What was quite interesting, when this bill, which has passed the House of Commons at the moment, it still has to, as we're speaking, still has to get through the House of Lords, though we're expecting that to happen, and then go to the Queen for royal assent, so to be signed off. What was passed through, or an amendment, as we say, a change to this law that was included, would allow Theresa May's withdrawal deal to be put back to Parliament. This is the deal that was voted down 3 times in Parliament. Could we see it coming back? And that being a way for Parliament to be able to vote on that again, MPs, OK, not those hardcore Brexiteers who cannot vote for the Irish backstop, but for other MPs to say, this is better than a no deal. There is the possibility for
John
that.
John Worth, can you tell me what the British people make of all of this? What are you hearing from family and friends this week?
There are two components to this. First is the British population is generally sick of this argument, right? They want a solution. There's this kind of, how have we still not solved this? That's one component to it. Give us a solution. And indeed, politicians are playing with that. Boris Johnson said, like, if you don't want to have to hear Brexit anymore, then give me my deal or give me my majority. But on the other side, the population is also still very divided, right? The general population is a little bit more pro-Remain than it was at the referendum. Like, there's opinion polls, there's a small majority for Remain these days, but the population is still very divided into two camps. There's not been much move since the referendum. So those are how I'd sum it up. Still split and rather jaundiced and have kind of had enough of this argument. But just because they've had enough of the argument doesn't mean we should still stop talking about it or stop trying to seek political solutions.
Certainly, Friedrich Thelen, what we do see from the polls is an enormous mistrust and actually disgust with the politicians in London. So how do you think that would play out if snap elections do wind up being held? Because, of course, Labour has said if this bill goes through, if it is passed by the House of Lords, then they might be prepared to agree to snap elections. How would you expect that to play out in an election, this distrust of politicians in general?
Well, I think this is the £100,000 question. Nobody knows what is going to come out of it and whether the public is so fed up with it, and maybe not even go to participation in voting, which has gone down to 42% or something. But as we just heard, they're fed up with it. But nobody knows what is in the heart of the voters, what's going to come out. And there, my optimistic belief comes back. Britain has gone through a lot of crises. Nothing so spectacular happened when no TV was around 100 years ago or 200 years ago. But I still believe that at the end of the day, if the rubbish is totally on the street and there, then someone comes up and that we need a rational solution, and I am the one who's going to lead it. I don't know, Phil Hammond, someone out of the Tory ranks, someone else, when they're all fed up with Boris Johnson.
Certainly. Sorry, I just want to bring in our last very short report here, and then I'll come to you, Alex. But certainly, if a snap election is held, the economic consequences of a Brexit, with or without a deal, are absolutely going to be at front and center of the debate. In the past weeks, we have seen a dramatic fall in the value of the pound, and experts say that could just be the beginning of the economic problems that will result if Boris Johnson carries through on his policies. Let's take a look.
The UK leaving the EU would damage the economies of both former partners, but the British people would be most affected. Experts believe the UK could descend into chaos as food and medication prices spike and possibly become short in supply. European businesses are likely to retreat, and the London stock market and British pound could crash. The ports along the Channel face endless lines of trucks waiting to enter, a huge blow to the economy. But EU companies, and especially export-heavy German industrial corporations, also risk losing billions. Are the UK and the EU careering towards a recession?
So, Alex, Remainers will undoubtedly be marshalling all of those arguments if, in fact, Britain does wind up going to the polls. Where do you think we're going to be on, say, November 1st? And I have to ask for quick answers because
really
we're almost
tough.
At the end
that
here.
That is really tough. I think there is still a very high possibility that there is a no-deal Brexit on October the 31st. That is not ruled out. There are still many things in play or that have to be played out before that is stopped.
Will there still be a British Prime Minister Johnson on October 31st?
That is a difficult one to call. I think so at the moment. I think that there will be, but don't hold me to it.
Bridget Tellen, what do you think? Where are we heading?
I don't believe in the snap election. I do think that Brussels might offer another period of 3 months to negotiate if that is being discussed. And, stick to what I've said before. out of the muddle someone that way. We're not going to run the country down. Someone has to take the banner and bring us back to sanity.
Sounds like a lot of optimism there. How about you, John Worth?
On 1st of November, that's the day after Britain was due to have left, Britain will not yet have left and will have secured an extension from the European Union to be in the European Union at least until January of 2020, and will be in the middle of an election campaign, which is incredibly fiercely fought, probably to take place sometime in November. So Boris Johnson will be fighting for his political life up against an opposition that is trying to unify against his Brexit plans. And so 1st of November, we don't know whether it will yet be the end of Boris Johnson, but he might be on the way towards it.
I'd love to invite you all back for a second round of the discussion after November 1st, but if I did, we'd be discussing under another name than Quadriga, because, ladies and gentlemen, Quadriga now ends with this show, but the debate here at DW will certainly go on. We have a new, exciting show coming up starting next week. It's called To the Point. Be sure to tune in. Thanks so much for joining us all these years long on Quadriga, and thanks to all of you for being here as well. Bye-bye.